You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Teams from several New Zealand universities, as well as NIWA, have recently discovered a large amphipod ecosystem underneath Antarctica. Amphipods are crustacean largely found underwater, and in these circumstances, over 500 meters beneath the Antarctic ice sheets. The team found the ecosystem by accident after drilling through the river nearby and discovering the animals on their cameras. To learn more, I spoke to NIWA oceanographer Craig Stevens about their findings and how the ecosystem could be affected by climate change, first asking him to run us over what they found in their research more in depth.
Yeah, so this past summer field season, a collaborative team from Victoria University, Otago, GNS, University of Auckland and NIWA, probably some other people I've left out, and a US team from Cornell. We were working on the coast of the Ross Ice Shelf, and this is about the fourth or fifth experiment in a row where we've been trying to understand how the ocean, the ice, the sediment all come together in this sort of enormous system that has quite an important role to play in sea level rise. So there's an enormous amount of ice sitting on top of the Antarctic continent. The rate at which that slides into the ocean is somewhat dependent on how much ocean warming gets in under the ice shelf. In this most recent experiment, we're working in a system that's never been worked in before, and it's kind of like an estuary that cuts in from the edge of the ice shelf cavity onto land. And so, yeah, it's potentially a real hotspot in terms of meltwater flow.
What led you to starting this research project in the first place?
Yes, well, you know, our team have got a 20-year history of looking at how ocean impacts on ice, not only ice shelves and ice sheet, but also sea ice. And we've been funded largely through government-supported programs to try and understand how the Ross Sea sector works, because that's important sort of politically and economically for New Zealand. And it's quite idiosyncratic system compared to some of the other components of the Antarctic ice ocean environment. It's got some sort of special factors, and so that's why we need to get in there, make observations to help improve how computer models work. And those computer models are built to tell us what sea level rise is going to be like in, you know, 30 to 100 years' time. But also they're starting to look at how ocean circulation is being affected by melting ice. And then also following on from that, if ecosystems are being influenced by both a warming ocean and a melting polar cap. So it's very multifaceted, and you know, ocean science is always like that. You're always trying to pin chemistry, physics, geology and biology together to build sort of long-term understanding.
How will the amphipod ecosystem and similar ones become in danger? How will they be affected due to the rising rate of climate?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point. You know, we were very much in this situation, this discovery situation. We'd gone somewhere, never been to before, never sampled before. And so there's a high likelihood of unusual discoveries. And one of them was this sort of teeming amphipod dominated ecosystem, at least visually, where we're a way away from understanding the climate influences on that. We're still trying to work out where the nutrient supply for that level of biological activity would be coming from. And it was, you know, we've got the nice video of sort of teeming life, but it wasn't always like that. You know, different times through the tidal cycle, there were almost no amphipods to be seen. So we're some way away from understanding the climate impacts on that sort of ecosystem. So you know, there's always more things to be done with science.
What do you reckon the next steps are in your research about both these ecosystems and the climate in general within your studies?
Yeah, well, a stack of data analysis is what's going on. You know, in the first instance, we'd spend 8 weeks in the field, but really, it's probably a year's worth of data analysis to work out what we've actually seen. And so we still have instruments in the water that are sending data back by Iridium. So we're capturing the, you know, we were there just for the summer period, but we've captured the spring neap tidal cycle, and now we're getting into understanding what the seasons look like when you're 500 kilometers from the open ocean underneath ice. But then the important step beyond that is to take that understanding and put it into a computer model. And so computer models are where we get some sort of intelligence about what things are going to be like in 30 or 100 years' time, but they're only as good as the sort of mechanics and the biophysical processes that we put into them. So we've kind of got this three-tier program where we've done our immediate observations, we're now in the analysis phase, and then we'll get into seeing how the forecasts look for the coming decades.
Once all of this work is done, where do you imagine that the outcomes will go? What are these computer models and forecasts and stuff? Will they be going towards the government to try and make some legislative change around climate, or are they kind of going to be kept within your records for more work to be done in the future?
All of the above. You know, we certainly want to inform other scientists so that they can then take the results and put them into their studies where they might compare different systems or they might compare different times. But we very much want to get the information out to central government so that they know or can understand why it's important to support you know, all the infrastructure that's you know, it's obviously very expensive to be in Antarctica, and so it's good to be able to put reasons why we should be there for the central government. But also, you know, once you're into sort of sea level rise and ocean circulation changes, you then start to impact on local government because they're going to care about sea level rise. And then if we're able to be coming up with forecasts of what Southern Ocean biological productivity is how that's going to change in the coming decades, then there's an economic imperative through sort of future fisheries and understanding what fisheries we should protect, what regions we should protect. So you know, we're doing this science for a range of groups for sure.
If they are to be incredibly badly affected by the climate crisis, what can be done to keep these ecosystems safe?
Well, we have to dramatically reduce emissions now. No question, it's quite simple. The level that we can protect these systems through adaptation decades hence, if we stick with business as usual, is going to be pretty limited. It's going to be much more effective to reduce emissions now.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.